listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and thank you for listening. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, being your host here this morning. Father Greg is away tending to ministerial things at his parish, so it's my privilege to spend this hour with you, and thank you for taking this time to listen to Catholic Radio. It's Friday in Chicago. The heat wave is broken, at least temporarily. Thanks be to God for that. And we're going to be talking about the youths today with a couple of youth ministers from both the Archdiocese of Chicago and the Diocese of Joliet. This is an important topic. We talk often about, you know, the youth are the church of tomorrow, but actually they're the church of right now. And they like to think that, and it's absolutely true. And if they're not involved now, the sad reality is they won't be involved in the future. So youth ministry is a very, very, very significant effort within the life of the church. Every parish, I think, ought to have a youth minister. Of course, the guys sitting here in front of me are very pleased to hear that. Let me just tell you a couple of things. On July 1st, the Archdiocese is going to begin the Year of Teens and Young Adults. And that's the first focus of our five-year strategic plan, Reflect Christ's Light. So it's really appropriate that we're going to be talking this morning about summer service projects designed for teens and young adults, and about Catholic Scouting that serves a portion of this same youth group. In the studio this morning, we have Dan Lawler.
Yep.
Good morning. Director of Youth Ministry at Ascension Parish in Oak Park, a very vibrant, active parish. Dan went on his first summer service trip in junior high school, and he's going to tell us about several programs that are going on this summer at Ascension Parish. We're also going to be talking with David Hyman, formerly of the Archdiocese of Chicago, a turncoat. No, we're lending him currently to the Diocese of Joliet, and David is the youth minister at St. Isidore the Farmer Parish in Joliet. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Thank
you so much.
Why don't we begin by asking you how you got involved in youth ministry? Dan, you want to start us off on that?
Sure. I think, like most youth, my time in youth ministry started by my parents making me come, and it was through that first experience and building relationships both in the parish community and with other youth that kept me involved. And then there's opportunities from youth ministers and other people along the way that continue to encourage me and support me being involved, volunteering, and helping out however I could.
You've been at Ascension for how long?
About 6.5 years.
And were you somewhere else before that?
I worked for a year at the LaSalle Manor Retreat Center in Plano, Illinois, doing retreats for some of the Catholic schools in the area.
Okay. David, you've been at this for a while.
I have been.
Tell us about how you've made your entry into this ministry.
Well, as a youth first, I was I grew up in the Southern Illinois area of Collinsville, Illinois, which was in the Springfield Diocese, but I was doing youth ministry in the Belleville Diocese and then going to school in the St. Louis, the Archdiocese of St. Louis. So in particular, we're going to be talking about scouting later on. Scouting was how I was doing youth ministry in the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, and then I was doing sort of more of the, you know, typical youth ministry programs in some parishes and some the Oblates of Mary Immaculate in Belleville. Then professionally, I came up to Chicago to pursue theater, which is fantastic, and I get to still have the privilege of working in the theater community in Chicago. Also, I wanted to follow my heart's love of the church and working with the church, and an opportunity at St. Ignatius Parish in Rogers Park came up for me to be their youth minister, and I took that in 1999, so I've been a professional youth minister ever since.
That's excellent. Now, I was going to ask you, what would have been the alternative? If it hadn't been church ministry, if it hadn't been youth ministry, were there other areas that you were interested in? David, you just mentioned theater. I've known you for a long time, so I know that that's a major part of your life, a major part of your passion. Would that have been your pursuit if you hadn't gotten involved in youth work?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm a Chicago actor. I'm a Chicago director. Almost every actor and director that I know in Chicago has a second job. So we have to find flexible jobs to be able to do that. But, you know, you asked the question, and I think there's part of me which just really believes in helping our community of young people with the education and the formation that they need. The classic paradigm for that in the Catholic Church has been the Catholic schools, and I'm a product of the Catholic schools. Between grade school, high school, and college, and grad school, I think I've amassed something in like 22 years of Catholic education. It's really ridiculous. It's wonderful, but it's
Don't ever let your parents add up the total tuition cost.
It's pretty amazing, and it's fantastic. It's In 2005, I was doing some statistics, though, and realized that the paradigm right now is that 65% of youth who are Catholic don't go to a Catholic school. And in my particular parish at St. Isidore, it's actually around 85% of the youth don't go to a Catholic school. So there's a great need to reach out to those young people. I would say if I wasn't doing youth ministry, I'd probably be in a Catholic school system because it's so close to my heart, working in some capacity in a Catholic school in formation. But I really feel called to youth ministry because of the need that's out there.
That, you know, you're describing a major sea change in the life of the church, because there was a time when the statistics would have been completely reversed.
Absolutely.
You could have assumed that 80% of the kids were in Catholic school and therefore getting the catechesis and learning the faith. So since they're not getting that exposure, it makes the catechetical programs in a parish very critical, and it certainly makes the kind of work that you gentlemen do in youth ministry absolutely essential. Dan, what about yourself? I asked earlier, what might have been the alternative? Where might you have headed if you hadn't gone in the direction of ministry?
Well, I actually went into college at the University of Dayton undeclared. Was completely unsure of where I was going or what I would do.
Not unlike a lot of college students.
Exactly. And in talking with my parents, the real push was something in computers and technology. And they said that's where the money is. And if you want to do ministry, you can do that later on or do that on the side. But it was several of my teachers in classes that really struck a chord and resonated. Hearing the truth that they were speaking really helped me to understand that that's where God was calling me. And it was kind of my push then with my parents to say, sorry, I'm not going to make a lot of money. I'll still be successful, but just in another way. And I continued to pursue a career in ministry.
So you use the language of vocation. Mm-hmm. It's not just something that's interesting. It's not just something you fell into. Mm-hmm. It's something that you felt you were called to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just a very clear decision for me. I think it was at the end of my freshman year in my modern Catholicism class. Everything that was being talked about that was said is just it helped me, and it caused me to really care a lot more about my faith and what was important. And it was through the mentorship of some of the other people at the school that really helped me to make that decision for myself. In conjunction with what I understood that God wants, and everything since then has really worked out with what He's been planning, I think.
David, you mentioned that if you weren't doing youth ministry in the parish, you'd probably be in Catholic education. Mm-hmm. So is there that same sense of call and vocation that Dan was just talking about?
Absolutely. I guess you could say that we do it for the money, but that would be that would be kind of silly, because you know the fields of the church offers for lay people, the teachers, the youth ministers, the administrators in the parish. Oftentimes there's not great resources for that, so you have to make a choice. Is the good that I'm doing something that is really compelling me and it's energizing my life? And for me, that was an obvious yes. And through my experience, it's been an obvious yes. So, you can't, you can't pay me enough to do what I'm doing because, you know, 50-hour week, 60-hour week, sometimes, you know, it's not about the money. If I can have my daily bread, if I can have what I need to survive, then it's rewarding, and it's okay that way. It's more about the vocation and bringing out what animates my life and my faith, and following that call from God.
So you're not, as what might be able to be said about many actors in Chicago, you're not an actor with a day job?
Well, it's actually very funny for me because, the youth ministry is so much at nights and weekends, and that often competes with my theater life, which is also nights and weekends. My day job is actually at night.
So you never sleep? Is that what you do, or what?
Sleeping is also a vocation, I think. I don't get the opportunity to get home usually until about midnight, and then the next day starts.
Now, did either of you ever go to seminary?
No.
No.
No. Well, that's people will misunderstand this. That's a good thing, not in the sense that you didn't go to seminary, but it's a good thing in that without having gone to seminary, you heard the call. You had this interest in faith that wasn't stimulated and cultivated by a seminary experience. It happened within the context of your secular life in a regular high school. I find oftentimes, though, that people do have an inspiration, a model, somebody who really provided the example that they thought they wanted to follow. Did you have anyone like that in your life?
It's hard to say just one person. I say this in two aspects. One, through my high school experience, I was working with a lot of Jesuits, and the Jesuits have an understanding that it's a community. Also, as Catholics, we don't ever just think of it just as one person, but it's the Catholic community. And I really think the Catholic community, whether it was my pastor when I was growing up to, many of the nuns, the priests, and even laymen and women who worked with me, who really inspired me saying that this is, I was brought into a community, and I continue to serve in a community.
We'll hold off for your answer, Dan, till after this break. You're listening to Catholic Communion of Faith on Relevant Radio AM 950. It's 9:12 in the morning. We'll be back very shortly after these few announcements. Don't go away.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th, as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon, and we'll see you at the finish line.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith, Friday morning in Chicago, 9:15 almost. Whether you're driving somewhere or sitting at home having a second cup of coffee or maybe sitting in your cubicle at your workspace someplace, we're very grateful that you've chosen to spend this part of your morning with us. Catholic Radio is a significant effort in the new evangelization. to help Catholics remain vibrant in their faith, and to reach out to those who've strayed from the faith and remind them that this is always their home. So thank you for being with us. We're talking today to three wonderful young men. I wish we were on television so you could see them. It's always very edifying to me as an old guy to, I often think, where is the next generation coming from? And three of them are sitting right here in front of me. Young men who've decided to give their life to the service of the church, to hearing the call, to hearing, responding to a vocation from God, and live a life of service. We want to welcome to the program Rudy Gomez, a Salesian volunteer and manager of several summer service projects that are part of the Salesians Gospel Road. At the end of the summer, Rudy will be a working full-time as a youth evangelization coordinator for the Salesians. Welcome, Rudy.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's great to be here. A little traffic out there, eh?
Oh, just a little bit.
Just a little. All right. We're going to get to you in a second, Rudy,
sure.
But I had asked earlier, both David and Dan, about someone who might have been a source of inspiration. You got anybody you could tell us about?
Yeah, there's a few people. I think first it's probably my high school youth minister, Karen Boyle, who was the example of what I understood youth ministry to be about. She devoted her life to serving youth, to developing relationships, to showing us how much we're loved by God. And then I think there's been a couple other people along the way who have really encouraged the idea that youth ministry isn't just a volunteer thing. It's not just a time to hang out with a couple of teenagers. It's a professional field, and in treating it so, we can develop in a way that helps to serve the youth and families that we're working with in a much more profound way. And I think it's organizations like the Center for Ministry Development who provide certification and resources that allow us to do our job well beyond just a volunteer role.
You know, the common misconception is that youth ministry is both a part-time job and a transitory position, that people who start off in youth ministry segue into doing something else. David, you've been at it for how long?
Since 1999, so
11 years.
Yeah.
All right, that's a long time.
Yeah, and
it doesn't sound like you're planning to go anywhere at this point.
Oh no. Kind of with some statistics behind that, you know, for a while the trend in youth ministry was, you know, you want that young post-college kid who, you know, kind of relates to youth. But we're finding in the trends that more and more youth ministers and parishes are in the ages of 40, 50, 60, you know, after they have maybe raised their own children and they stay connected to the parish through ministering to other teens. That's a growing trend.
I often think that it's a huge mistake to think you got to hire somebody who's cool, you know, that the kids are going to think, wow, this is a cool person. So then they go for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, he's so cute, so the girls want to go because he's so cute. Oh, he's so cool, you know, so the boys want to go because he's going to organize a lot of fun activities. Well, if they're not there because there's some level of interest in their faith, the coolness factor is going to die out very quickly. Rudy.
Yes.
You're a little bit of a different profile. You're not a parish-based guy like Dan and David here. Mm-hmm. Tell us about how you relate to young people.
Sure. I'm actually from Miami originally, so I've been here in Chicago since August with the domestic volunteer program with the Salesians. So I'm actually living at St. John Bosco Church right now as a youth minister. There's another volunteer there as well. I went to a Salesian high school. Those were my first years of Catholic school. I was sort of a public school kid all my life back in Miami. And it was really through service projects in high school that I really started to get to know my faith, so started to grow in it, and kind of that little kick in the back, in the backside, in regards to faith, because faith was never, my religion was never sort of an active thing for me when I was young. I wasn't really brought up in it. So being able to get to know the Salesian charism and go to Ecuador to an orphanage down there when I was 16, my junior year in high school, things really started to just snowball for me through there.
So would you say that that's the moment that kind of mm-hmm. kick-started this
yep.
whole
Absolutely.
Effort in you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That one year, I guess a 2-year chunk in high school, being able to go to New York on a leadership retreat, and then also to participate in a little town called Mindo, Ecuador. There's an orphanage and a boarding school there. It was a 10-day mission trip, really. You know, get your hands dirty, play with the kids, etc. I just fell in love there, and I really did at that moment sort of feel a tug. I wasn't sure where it was taking me. I wasn't sure where I was being called to. But over these last, you know, I guess God knows how many years it's been since I graduated high school, about 7 years, I started to really feel that call, that vocation to work with young people for really the rest of my life.
So what is your long-term goal? When you think about the work that you do with teenagers, what's your hope? What, you know, if you had to write it down in a sentence or two, what do you want to accomplish? You're trying to entertain them? You're trying to keep them close to church? Put it in a sentence or two. David, you want to start us off?
So that the young people will be disciples of Jesus Christ.
Make disciples of Jesus Christ.
That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Dan, how about you?
I would echo the same thing. That's the first goal of renewing the vision, and I think that's the thing that resounds most profoundly with me, is helping them to be in relationship with Christ and empowering them to be a disciple.
Rudy?
Yeah, St. John Bosco, his motto, sort of lifelong motto, was give me souls and take away the rest. And that's sort of, we're in the salvation of soul business, not just as Salesians, but as Catholics as well. And that's really is to help kids be, you know, honest citizens, good Christians, help them find their vocation in life, whether it's sort of actively within the church or living as an active, you know, Catholic young person, Catholic person in whatever their 9-to-5 job is.
If I remember my childhood holy card collection, St. John Bosco had a great deal of ministry with youth.
Absolutely. That was his deal. It was now all youth ministers sort of all over the place, but back then in Italy when he started in the mid-1800s, working with young people, especially kids from the street, was not a great thing. Priests looked down on him. It was just not the thing to do.
And I'm sure it was no easier then than it is now.
Yeah, we all have different challenges, but challenges nonetheless, absolutely.
All right, now, what about this wilding thing that's been going on these past few days? It happened right here, you know, just a block from us. One of these, they've been calling it flash mobs in the newspapers, but that's the wrong term. These teenage thugs text messaging each other and converging on Chicago and Wabash and just beating the heck out of some poor guy. Do you ever hear about that kind of thing? Do you ever run into kids who've come from that kind of experience?
Here in Chicago, violence seems a lot more prevalent than sort of where I'm from or where I was, I guess, in my high school days in Miami. I did hear about it on the news a little bit. Don't quite listen too much of it. But it's tough because as youth ministers, let's say in a parish, we get the kids for maybe 5-10 hours a week max if we're lucky. But then public schools have them the rest of the time. Who knows how their family is, their family life back home. So it's really difficult. So in that time that we have them at church, we have to make a point to not just be entertainment for them, but to really form them, to really give them that formation that they need, to let them know that they belong here in the church, to let them know that they're welcomed and loved.
Yeah, I'd add on to that in some of the work that we do as youth ministers, we have to study some psychology and sort of some development of the human person. And we know that as young as age 2, developmentally, people start looking to society and start looking to friendships for their influence on their moral actions, on their behaviors, on their customs that they pick up. And when we talk about these mobs, or we talk about the sort of looseness of morality in adolescence, it's oftentimes because the society to which they belong to is not formed in any sort of Christian identity. And in youth ministry, that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to form a society of young disciples. Those societies might have been schools before. We're going to talk about the scouting program, I know, later on today. There's lots of social groups, whether that be a sports team, whether that be a club at the park district. But young people are attracted to societies for influencing their behaviors and morals and values. And when there's not a society that is proclaiming Christ as the center of that, of the morals and values of that society, these kind of things happen with kids. There's sort of just an absence of direction.
So you're all talking about the importance of formation. Now, I know you've got some very significant formation activities planned for this summer. Dan, why don't you tell us about the service opportunities that you're sponsoring through Ascension Parish in Oak Park?
Sure. Every year, we send teens and adults out into the world to serve in a variety of different capacities. This summer, we're sending three different trips. The first, which is starting on Saturday the 19th, a group of young women are going to Green Bay, Wisconsin with Young Neighbors in Action to work at a Dominican retreat center, learn about organic and sustainable practices, how to care for God's creation in a way that hopefully enables them to come back to the parish and our wider community and teach us how we can be better stewards of what God has given us. The next trip is a junior high trip called Just 5 Days, and we've got, I think, 25 youth who are going to St. Joe in Benton Harbor, Michigan, to work and serve in that community, which I'm very grateful that they started a program for that age level that really helps them to understand what it means to serve and hopefully brings them into the high school program.
So junior high, that's 7th and 8th grade?
6th, 7th, and 8th, yes.
And parents going with?
There are five adult chaperones who are going, some parents, some teachers, people from the community.
And what kind of work will they be doing?
Don't know yet. We're still waiting to find out. That's part of the excitement of it.
Is it physical labor, like painting, fixing?
Some of it is. I know last year we were in Springfield, actually, with David's parish. The work is all developmentally appropriate for that age level. So they were sorting donations. Some were working in a garden. Some were helping
homes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's really stuff that they can do well and be successful at and feel accomplished in. And then we're taking one more trip at the end of the summer to West Virginia and Kentucky to help repair homes through a Methodist service project.
That's excellent. And how do you recruit kids to decide, you know, how do you convince them to give their free time, you know, summer, get to sleep late, do whatever you want, no homework. How do you get kids to decide to give up a part of their summer, go to some place that might be very hot and not have air conditioning, and give their time and effort to helping other people?
I mean, you'd be surprised. Some of our programs now with the Salesians, the Gospel Roads programs, we're having to close them down because we're just really getting full, sort of the max capacity. They're smaller programs, about 20 to 30 people for the majority of them. But once one of their friends goes and has that experience and then another one tells them to come back, they're sort of fighting for it. And they don't see it as sort of giving up their summer, but they're really rearranging their summer schedules to be a part of this service experience. With the youth of teen and young adult, and I hear different surveys and whatnot that sort of a huge religious experience in sort of a retreat setting, and service programs are like really the big things in the sense of belonging are really the big things that young people that attracts them to the church now.
Yeah.
And with these service programs, they're not just service. So let's go out and, you know, paint houses or plant or whatnot, but there's also retreat components to most of it, and prayer, obviously. Kids love it.
Tell us about that. How do you keep it from just being a belonging experience and truly transform it into a God experience, mm-hmm. where they encounter the Lord in each other, in the people they serve, and in themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. With our Gospel Roads programs, each program, this is our 11th summer, 11th year going into it. We have about 10 programs every summer in different cities. And so each program is unique to the city that in which it's in, from New Orleans to Tampa, Philadelphia, into New York as well. But each program has sort of underlying currents of, you know, everybody, all the programs have daily mass. There's always a night of adoration, Eucharistic adoration in our programs. There's a night of the rosary. We do a candlelit rosary as well in most of the programs. So although the first half of our day is spent in service, and whether that's, you know, elderly home or in New Orleans rebuilding homes still from Katrina and just lower income homes with Catholic Charities down there, there's time for reflection, there's time for prayer. We have to make time for it, because if not, sort of the kids with all the noise in their lives and all the things going on, they get really caught up in just the activity of it and forget the meaning and the reason why they're actually doing it.
I keep hearing more and more about teens and adoration. You know, give me a break. 15 years ago, that just would not have happened. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, it would not have happened. It just warms my heart to hear you guys talking about this. Tell us about how the teens react to this. Rudy, you mentioned, you know, the noise in their lives. Mm-hmm. This is a break from it.
Absolutely.
But oftentimes, kids won't look for a break. You know, they often look for more noise. Describe the experience, describe how you introduce it to them, and describe the effect that it has on the kids.
Sure, if I can go. With adoration, it's there is obviously a bit of explanation, and we're all of us, no matter how old we are, being able to really fully truly believe that up there it's not just a piece of bread, you know what I mean, it is the body of Jesus Christ in there. It's difficult, you know, it's really difficult, especially for young people, but just to have those times, it's really to let just God move them, let the Holy Spirit move them. With adoration, we use sort of a lot of a contemporary Christian music, so it's not so much the traditional type of things, but it has that little, just really the music, you just kind of lose yourself in it. Last year in Tampa, we had about 80 kids in adoration. Some of them were there for the absolute first time, had no idea what it was going into it, and they were some of the ones that were impacted the most. Just, they said, I didn't know what was going on with me. Some of them did start shaking and that sort of deal, had such a moving experience, had no idea what was going on, but, you know, hey, that's God, you know, he sort of works in all these different ways. And so throughout a lot of our Salesian schools now, the praise and worship, we call it sort of XLT, exalt. We have it once a month here at St. John Bosco, first Friday of every month. It's sort of youth, you know, especially youth adoration. And the kids just, they come out for it. They want that opportunity, you know, to see the Lord, whether they know really what it is or not.
I want to come to that. When do you do it?
First Friday of every month.
At what time?
After we have 7 o'clock Mass, 8 p.m. starts adoration.
First Friday of the month, 8 p.m., St. John Bosco. Where's that located?
Off of Fullerton, in between Fullerton and Grand, Austin as well, 2250 North McVicker.
2250 North McVicker. Mm-hmm. All right, anybody out there interested in experiencing young people worshiping the Lord in this way, or if you've got a young person you would like to bring to an experience like this, consider first Friday of the month, St. John Bosco, 7 o'clock Mass, 8 p.m. adoration. Either of you guys had experience with adoration in young people?
Yeah, you know, and I want to kind of go into this, Gratz, with a, you know, kind of a different approach. You know, we're talking a lot about the short-term mission trip, a lot of great things are said about short-term mission trips, and I think all three of us know that there's good mission trips and there's bad mission trips. You know, a couple years ago, I actually heard Cardinal George, you know, lob up some criticisms about some of these things, sort of the trend in even college campuses to do sort of short-term mission or service programs. And certainly one of the ways we experience Christ is in serving our brothers and sisters in the world. And that's important. But we can't miss the bigger picture,
which is
Christ is present not just in the service that we do, but in as we would hear in canon law, also in the Word of God, also in the community of the church, and in a way par excellence, as it says in the Eucharist. So you know, a good mission trip is something that's comprehensive, that really engages the whole Catholic community.
So
our prayers and
prayer, Eucharist, adoration.
Yeah,
if those aren't there, then it becomes a more
social service.
Service oriented than a Christian.
Right, event. Right. And there's some statistics which show the ineffectivity of service programs and how lacking they are in impactful ways. They don't affect the communities that they try to help, and they don't have a lasting impact on the kids who go on them. Well, those statistics are kind of geared around programs that aren't really comprehensive in engaging the whole person into the Christian discipleship. And I think, you know, some of the programs that Dan mentioned from the Salesians as well are really comprehensive, and that good youth ministers are going for those and aiming at those. So if you know, the listening audience is thinking, hey, you know, I'll do this with the park district, or you know, I heard this is going on at a church, you know, do some research. Find out what's going on to really make sure it's...
Tell us real quickly about some of the other kinds of opportunities, more global things.
Yeah, you know, in my parish, we have, this summer, we have 4 mission trips, one to Minnesota with the Red Lakes Indian Reservation. We've got one to Habitat for Humanity in St. Louis, and then 2 programs that we're doing with our junior high kids with Just 5 Days. But in addition, there are other summer programs which are not focused merely on service, but good formation in the Catholic faith. I'm going with my kids to Notre Dame Vision, which is a program at Notre Dame University, which engages young people in the question of vocation, become a priest, a nun,
Excellent.
Married, call to holiness. I'm also bringing 22 kids to World Youth Day in Spain, which is a summer formation experience where we get to be with the Pope in Spain.
Kids love the Holy Father.
it's amazing. There's Steubenville conferences, which are very relevant, very popular. There's retreats. There's a lot of opportunities when kids are free during the summertime to really grow in their faith?
Well, with committed young youth ministers like yourselves, I would say that the coming year of teens and young adults is going to be very successful within the Archdiocese. I want to thank all of you for the work that you're doing. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about scouting and faith. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Catholic Charity's Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Catholic teens and young adults are preparing for World Youth Day 2011 in Madrid, Spain. The Archdiocese is sponsoring an exciting and inspirational 9-day trip for this coming August.
World Youth Day is a week-long spiritual journey during which teens and young adults from around the world unite to share their faith.
The Archdiocese organized trip to Madrid will include daily mass, catechesis, festivals, walking tours, and all the events scheduled with the Holy Father Pope Benedict the 16th.
That includes a welcoming ceremony, an evening candlelight vigil, and the closing mass. And for young people not going to Madrid, there's a wonderful World Youth Day celebration planned at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines.
The regional event will bring together young Catholics from Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin. There will even be a giant TV hookup so you can pray along with the Pope during the closing mass in Madrid.
Go to the Archdiocese website, www.archchicago.org, and click on World Youth Day. You'll find information regarding travel to Madrid, our local festivities, and a link to the official World Youth Day website.
Plan now. Be part of this inspirational and memorable celebration of our faith.
World Youth Day 2011.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Communion of Faith, 9:38 in the morning going on, and you're listening to Catholic Radio on AM 950. Very grateful for your time, and we really value your support in prayer. This is an important ministry in the Archdiocese and throughout the Church, and some people give financially, but this is not a pitch for money. This is a pitch for your listening support and for your prayer support, that what we do might reach as many people as possible, and that what we do might touch as many hearts as possible. I wish that every high school in the Archdiocese was listening this morning to these fine young men, because they would be truly inspired, not just by what they're doing, but by who these young men are and their willingness to commit their lives to the service of the Church. We might sometimes lament that there are fewer young men, fewer young women entering religious life. But you know what? I got three guys in front of me who've entered religious life. They don't have collars. They're not addressed as father. But these are ministers of the Church. And I'm very proud that I was part of the formation of one of them who went through the Together in God Service program, David Hyman here. But all of these young men were formed in one way or another and now are passing on that gift that they received to many, many, many people. We want to welcome to the program right now Bill Torek, who works in our parish operations office. He's not a youth minister by trade, but he is very involved in scouting from St. Francis of Rome Parish in Chicago. And he, for these next 20 minutes or so, he'll be helping to represent the Archdiocese of Chicago's Catholic Committee on Scouting that is part of the Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Gus.
You know, scouting and youth ministry, I'm not sure that my brain puts those two things together all the time.
We have to put them together.
Wait. I was going to say, I'm not sure that it does, right. But, see, the but was coming. But, David, I know that in your mind, these two things are closely linked. So, before going to Bill, you're a guy who really straddles both those areas and has for a long time. Tell me how scouting and youth ministry do make sense together.
Well, first, I'll talk about that from an experiential point of view. My experience was I was in scouting as a young man, and my scout troop was at my Catholic church. And so I was coming to my Catholic church every week for our meetings. And then because it was at a Catholic church, they have an awards program, which particularly challenges young Catholics who are scouts to know about their faith, to participate in their faith. Scouting, which is an interreligious movement, encourages every scout to be reverent and to know about their faith and participate in their faith, whether it's Catholic or Mormon, Lutheran, Jewish. That's the experiential end. And the second thing is I became a professional youth minister. We study a teachings of the U.S. bishops, a document called Renewing the Vision. And from the level of our church leadership and the bishops of the United States, they specifically ordain us to understand that scouting, whether that be the Boy Scouting, Girl Scouting, Campfire Girls, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. These are youth ministries of the Catholic Church. And need to be understood as youth ministries and respected for youth ministry.
Well, Bill, you are a married guy.
Yes.
Is your wife listening this morning?
I think she is.
What is her first name again?
Marie Claire.
Marie. Bonjour, Marie. That's a little inside
so appreciate
joke.
That.
Yeah. Tell us how you got involved with scouting. You work in the parish operations office. Like I said, you're not a youth minister.
Correct,
but
yes.
You do youth ministry, I'm sure,
yes.
Through your involvement with scouts. How did you first get involved?
Well, I grew up, again, just like David said, I started in scouting at the I went to the St. Hyacinth's Church in Chicago, and then I started with Cub Scouts there and went through the Boy Scout program. And then it wasn't until I have my two sons, Robert and Marcel, and they started Cub Scouts at our home parish, which is Divine Infant Jesus Parish in Westchester, and then I automatically became a scout leader as well. And what we had noticed is all the troops and packs around the archdiocese, around that neighborhood, no one was doing any religious awards. We knew they were out there, and just one of those things where it got busy and people just didn't do it, and that's why we decided to reinstate and bring back all the religious awards.
Yes. My son, when he was, at that age, was involved in a scout troop. It was probably the worst scout troop in the city of Chicago. However,
<I don't>
he enjoyed it.
That's good.
And we did win one of the
Pinewood Derbies. Yes.
Ah, amazing. But tell me, why scouting? Is it still as big a phenomenon as it used to be? Give us a few statistics. Do kids tend to stay? Do they go from Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts? How does that work?
Well, today there's so much competition with sports that we really lose a lot of boys going from Cub Scouts into Boy Scouts. That's our biggest. That's the biggest place where we lose them. Becoming Eagle Scout is there's about the 4% of all Scouts become Eagle Scouts. There's a lot of, I'm sure you can find other statistics, but it's from what we see, some areas will thrive, and some areas it's kind of hard to keep them going.
Sure. Yeah, the Cub Scout movement is actually bigger than it ever has been nationally. And people sort of think of the golden age of Boy Scouting sort of like a, you know, the 50s, the 60s, going into the 60s. And right now the Boy Scout movement is about half the membership of what it was at that time. But the Cub Scout membership is exponentially larger, and that's where most of the work is done right now.
David, I know about your history. You are yourself an Eagle Scout.
In fact, yes, we never say that somebody was an Eagle Scout.
You
are an Eagle Scout. Once you make that rank, you are it for life.
You are it for life. And that's not easy to attain.
No, no.
Congratulations.
Very thanks.
Dan and Rudy, do your kids come from scouting? Do you have any kids in your youth groups who are doing scouting as well as the youth group?
Yep. I think there's a lot of overlap between our regular youth ministry program and the scouting program. But what I find most helpful is that it's a whole parish program, that it's not just the scouts who are not part of the parish, who are not part of the community, and same with the adults. There's a lot of mentoring going on. There's a lot of support from the parish for the scouting program. In fact, just last weekend, one of the Eagle Scouts was working on a project to help build raised gardening beds in the backyard of our parish so that we can, our gardening club can produce food for the local food pantry. So it's really integrated into the life of the parish. They're at Mass selling wreaths and popcorn and everything else.
Yeah.
And a lot of the good work that the scouting does, transfers into our work in youth ministry, especially in our service projects.
Yes, scouting at St. John Bosco is a little bit of a new thing, just recently over the last couple of years. So it's new, but it's not. It's actually, I think, one of the fastest growing sort of groups within our church. We have our Cub Scouts now. I believe they're growing to Boy Scouts as well. They're starting that up, and we literally had to move them into the gym because they wouldn't fit in the youth center anymore. And it's such an amazing thing, and it's not just a group that's sort of off to the side of youth ministry, but like myself, I'm a domestic volunteer. The other gentleman, the other young guy who's there as well, John, he's there with the scouts every week. And Brother Charles, who's a Salesian brother, he's with them as well every week there. And like they said before, the fact that it's at church, whether they are Christian or not, or Catholic or not, coming to church, especially the ones who really find their niche in scouting. They may not come to church for really much else aside from Sunday Mass, let's say those who are Catholic, but they find their niche and come to church in scouting. There's that bond right there that really can't break.
Yeah, that's a great point. One of the things I really take from my former pastor, Father Joseph Jackson, is he used to say that what we do in the Catholic schools is about the quantity of time that the student is at the church. You know, you just can't replace it, you know. And so you're studying science, but your faith is also there. You're studying math, but your faith is also there. When we have quantity of time at our church and with our religious community, it affects us. You can't stand by the fire so long before you get warm. And so a lot of these programs like the youth ministry, like the Boy Scouts, when it's bringing young people into the community, it's that time that they're spending there that really sort of, they absorb the faith through the time that they're there.
Yeah, it's excellent. Bill, I want to hear about some of the programs that are available. But first, let me ask this question. What is the parent involvement factor in both scouting and or youth ministry? How important is it for the parent to be committed to scouting? Do kids come on their own, or is it usually because the parent has decided that this is a good thing for their child?
Well, a lot of times we see the boys end up driving their parents or making their parents come to the meetings. And of course, you're learning your faith from your parents down. So we do have a lot of parent involvement. We encourage parents to come and help out with our program. We want them to be volunteers. And we have counselors for the religious awards, and those come from the parents as well, parents, scouts, leaders, and parents.
What about you guys in terms of the youth ministry? Do you often find that it's because the parent encouraged the child to come that they're there, or is it more that the child on his or herself made the choice?
Seems like the younger you go, I guess the more the parents are sort of involved and encourage, oh, I want my son to be involved in church. I want my son to be involved in scouting. And the head of our scouting is a mom. Her name is Evelyn, and she's a mom there, and her kids are involved in it as well. But it's the parents are the first catechists. You know, they're really the ones before sort of we get hold of them as youth ministers at the church. They're the first ones at the home. So for them to, and obviously their kids, when they get that first taste and they love it and they're excited, mom, take me. And then it's sort of just a big happy family with the parents wanting them to go, the kids want to go as well. And we as youth ministers, when they get older, you know, we're excited to have them.
Yeah. So we as parents can't kind of shrug off that responsibility saying, well, we're sending them to these wonderful programs. Mm-hmm. They'll take care of passing on the faith to our kids. It's got to start with the parent, doesn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, we're going to go to a short break, and then when we return, we're going to continue this conversation, hear more about some of the scouting opportunities within the Archdiocese. Don't go away. There's much more to come.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you ready for the upcoming changes in the words of the Mass? The revision of the Roman Missal brings innovations that will affect us all. Whether you are a teacher, catechist, priest, or parishioner, excellent resources are available to help you understand these changes in the words of the liturgy. For more information about how you can prepare yourself and your assembly, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit www.revisedromanmissal.org.
And good to be back with you, 9:52 in the morning. We're continuing our conversation about scouting and youth ministry with Dan Lawler of Ascension Parish, Rudy Gomez, Salesian Volunteer, Bill Torek of Archdiocesan Parish Operations Office, but also with scouting in Chicago, and with David Hyman of St. Isidore Parish in Joliet.
Bloomingdale, actually. It's Joliet Diocese.
Joliet Diocese in Bloomingdale. All right. Bill.
Yes, sir.
David reminded us during the break that we're not just talking about Boy Scouts. We're also talking about girls. So obviously when we're talking about youth ministry, that's reaching out to boys and girls. But scouting does exactly the same thing. There are Girl Scouts. What do you call the equivalent of the Cub Scouts?
Brownies.
The Brownies. There you go. Tell us about the organized efforts within the Archdiocese, Bill, to draw kids to scouting.
Okay, we have the in Chicago here, the Archdiocese Catholic Committee on Scouting, abbreviated as ACCS. And before I go into the little bit of details, we do have a website out there which you can access off the Archdiocese of Chicago website. And if you go to departments and scroll down to youth ministry, there's the scouting emblem. Click on there, it'll take you right to our website.
So the Archdiocesan website is www.archchicago.org. Yes. Click on departments and look for scouting.
Youth ministry first, and then click on
departments, scouting. Youth ministry, scouting.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. So here in Chicago, as David had mentioned about the priests, and we do have Father Fred Tomczyk, who's our chaplain, and he is an Eagle Scout, and he's the head of our group. Deborah Sitz is also our training chair, and like the Vicariate of Chicago, we have six regions, and there's one person in charge of each of those six. And as a group, we organize. We have all the badges. We have the badges down at the Meyer Center, so you can access those by contacting Jacqueline Herrera down there. And then also we put on some events. We did our first fall fundraiser. We had a night at the Chicago Wolves game last year. And then every year we do what we call the Fishers of Men event at the Mundelein Seminary. And there we have Cub Scouts come and bring their fishing pole, and they can meet seminarians. They get a tour of the Mundelein Seminary, and they can fish at the lake.
And there's good fishing up there.
Correct, yes, there is.
There's very good fishing up there. You brought a bunch of patches with you there.
Yes.
What are those?
Okay, we have, in addition
to hold them up to the camera, would you?
Yeah, exactly. I hope you can see all these at home. There's, in addition to the normal Cub Scout and Boy Scouts awards, there's five awards. There's also other things to keep boys interested. There's the Saints. We have the American Saints patches. So if they learn a little bit about their Saints, they can earn a patch on the Saints. Saint Isidore is one that there is. We also have these very nice, colorful patches on the Rosary, the Mysteries of the Rosaries, and the luminous, joyful, glorious, and sorrowful mysteries. They're very beautiful patches. They really stand out among all the other.
Can I earn one of these?
Sure. Yeah, you can. We'll bring you in to our blue and gold next year, and you can stand up there with the Cub Scouts and earn one.
There you go.
And
that'd be great. Yeah. It's worth it just to earn these patches.
They're very beautiful patches.
Are patches actually a good motivator?
Well, this is sort of the insight of Lord Baden-Powell, who started the scouting movement over 100 years ago. He was kind of taking it from some of the knowledge that he had from the military, but with his insight to young people was that when young people are given an assignment, a task, a goal, right, and they achieve it, and they have recognition for that achievement, they are more likely to continue the path of achievement. And so the scouting movement is marked by that, the sense of patches, awards, goals that young people set, and then when they attain that, they are recognized for it. And that proved not only be the case with, sort of the ranks within scouting and Girl Scouting and Boy Scouting as well, but also in religion as well. They discovered that if set a goal for learning and understanding something, and then you're recognized for it, there's a motivation to do that.
Yeah, specific attainable goals.
Yeah,
I think that is a key to success. What about in your programs, Dan and Rudy? Do you have anything that would be analogous, any ways to encourage the kids to set goals for themselves and to know when they've achieved them?
I think through a lot of our programs, there's a lot of leadership development going on from some of the adults and working with teens in a mentoring capacity, and also from a ministry standpoint. And in doing so, we provide them with opportunities to demonstrate their skills and what they're good at in leading their peers, and they feel a great sense of accomplishment afterwards. And there's a lot of praise from the adults and other people in our community for our youth, and that's a big motivator for them.
Yeah, for our some of our young adults, and also older, and they're in high school. Sorry about that. I'm used to this whole radio deal. But also they've been wanting to get involved with the Cub Scouts and helping out. And I know I believe venture scouting is that, yes, a sort of a new thing that some of our older kids are really into and want to get into. And they just mentioned sort of that opportunity. We have a parish outing where the scouts will go camping, and then some of our active leaders in youth ministry, they want to help out because they're so cute in the little uniforms and that sort of thing. But that sort of peer effort and young people helping other young people and leading young people is a great thing.
And Graz, to answer that question too, one of the things that happens in the Archdiocese of Chicago is there's award banquets that are done in the vicariates to recognize young people who are serving as leaders, maybe catechists, significant leadership in retreat ministry and youth ministry. So the Archdiocese has sort of incorporated a way for all youth to be recognized for their achievement in their work in the parishes.
Well, on that note, we're going to need to end our conversation about youth ministry and scouting within the Archdiocese of Chicago. I want to thank very especially Dan Long,
Lawler from Ascension Parish, Rudy Gomez of the Salesian Volunteers, David Hyman from St. Isidore Parish.
In Bloomingdale.
Yes, we'll never forget that. And Bill Torek from the Archdiocesan Scouting Offices. We also want to thank our producer, Diane Dunnigan, and our excellent engineer, Mr. Michael May. Most of all, we thank you for listening, and we ask you to pray for these wonderful young people who are ministering to the young people of Chicago. May God bless them richly and make their ministry very, very fruitful. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on Monday. God bless.
Okay, thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.